The multicellular type of fungus that's microscopic. So a lot of times we get confused, what's the difference between mold and fungus and mildew and all this, stuff. So yeast. So this is the difference. Mold is multicellular but microscopic, whereas like mushrooms are not microscopic and they're more structured. And there's many species of mold, so we can't get into like the individual species, but maybe the most common types. And we can develop allergies to them, but even if we aren't allergic to them, they have mycotoxins that can poison anyone if the dose is high enough. And so if you tend to be chemically sensitive, you could just be reacting to the mycotoxins. Even if you're not allergic. And mold also suppresses the immune system. So that can lead to yeast overgrowth, other infections, and even cancer. So, and that's mostly from the depression of the immune system. So before you can heal from any other disease or syndrome, lots of people have lots of co-infections and Lyme and, all this stuff, but you have to get the mold out. I worked with a woman who had like 15 co-infections and chronic Lyme, and she remediated the mold in her house before she could get better. So, yeast or candida is different in that it's a single cellular fungus. It's also microscopic. So, candida is always present in our intestines, but it can result in overgrowth if the microbiome is disturbed with antibiotics, including glyphosate, Roundup, that is also officially an antibiotic. So, and most people get that on non-organic foods. It's probably on organic foods just from the drift, but do what you can. Immunosuppressants like steroids also allow for candida overgrowth. So if you go on steroids, that suppresses your immune system, and you're going to be susceptible to any infections, including candida. Mold or yeast overgrowth can occur after water damage to the home, school, or workplace. And the mold will start growing after, intensively after 48 hours. So you have to get it dried out as quickly as possible. And also antibiotics. Including glyphosate, can disrupt your whole microbiome and allow for overgrowth. And I'm repeating myself, immunosuppressants like steroids. So, hi, Jean.
Is glyphosate in other types of pesticides and herbicides as well?
Glyphosates are used especially on GMOs. You've heard of Roundup Ready? Like wheat and soy, and I guess not wheat, but corn, soy, other things. If it's GMO, it's usually Roundup Ready. And then the farmer can spray the heck out of the field all growing season, like seven times I heard. They will just spray the whole field to kill all the weeds. And then the corn and soy and whatever GMOs are in there keep growing because they're resistant to the Roundup. But they're just saturated with Roundup, so even babies are being born with it in their blood. It's so pervasive these days.
I mean,
And the best we can do is,
is it in other kinds of pesticides besides Roundup?
Not the no. It's specifically a broad, herbicide. That's what they use it for these days, even though it was originally patented as an antibiotic.
But they're supposed to get it Roundup off the shelves this year.
Are they?
That's what I had read,
Well,
but it's still being
I'll believe
sold.
it when I see it because, we're not getting any kind of regulation from the EPA or the FDA or any, we don't have regulations.
I had read a couple of years ago that they were using it as a drying agent on wheat.
Yeah,
After
that's
it had been harvested, they were spraying it.
right. Well,
You could believe
before that, they spray the,
that.
it's not GMO wheat, but they spray on the wheat just to kill it and dry it out and make it easier to harvest. So if it's not organic wheat, well, I wouldn't eat wheat anyway, but yeah, that's not. Yeah. So here are the symptoms of mold toxicity, which it seems to cover everything. Chronic sore throat, brain fog. And the brain fog, some of the doctors were saying it can be like severe dementia. They don't even realize their husband's sitting there or whatever. And also it affects the brain, so it can cause depression and mood disorders and chronic upper respiratory infections. And then aspergillus is especially bad, and it can colonize in the lungs and just be deadly. So you really don't want aspergillus. It can cause nighttime urination and fatigue. And I'll cover one of these studies was interesting, that most chronic fatigue patients that they tested had mycotoxins in their blood. I guess they were testing blood. So vision problems, and this mast cell, MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome that a lot of people are talking about. And these doctors are finding that mold causes, I think that was spelled correct or something. Mold causes mast cells to release histamine. So it can cause that MCAS. Another symptom is sugar cravings, because yeast wants sugar. It loves sugar, so it makes you crave sugar. It can cause, some of it can cause estrogen dominance, which I'm interested in that. There was a specific type of mold that can cause estrogen dominance, which. So then the skin rashes, eczema, and sometimes you see fungus growing in the nails, on the feet, in the nails, and that's all a sign of mold toxicity. You have mold somewhere in your environment. And this was interesting, that mold can block protein synthesis and DNA replication. And this, they think, is the mechanism by which it suppresses the immune system so that other infections appear. And mold has also been linked to cancer, whether it's just from immune suppression or other factors. So how long will it take to get better? And this depends on the level of mold exposure and the time spent in the moldy environment. So you want to get out of there, you know, or remediate as fast as possible. So first we'll go into your home testing and remediation. And they stress, do not, unless it's like a little surface mold or something, do not mold remediate yourself. Like it's very dangerous and it's a big job. And never use bleach to kill mold. So when mold is just killed like that, it releases the spores into the air and the mycotoxins, and it just spreads all over the place. So that can, you know, cause physical harm and the spread of the mold. So I'm giving you a link to a mold expert that has advice on when and how to clean mold yourself and when to call a professional. And he has a lot of short videos on the mold topic in the environment. And basically he says, you know, if it's anything beyond a 10 square foot surface area, just call an expert. And it's not easy to find a professional that's honest. So this one doctor suggests that you go to a law office, call a law office that specializes in mold toxicity claims, and ask them for a reliable professional. And so I found a list of mold doctor or mold lawyers in Delaware, but you can, wherever you are, you can find a list. So this is what a professional remediation should look like. Here are two videos, the same people, but basically they show that you seal off the rooms, you know, with plastic and tape. Anything that's contaminated should be sealed off, and they set up a HEPA filter, and the exit went right out the window, you know, so they both filter and remove the air.
Did they use the negative pressure machine too?
Well, that created the negative pressure because they were pulling it out of the house. And so the that did create the negative pressure. So this guy was working in a bathroom that the shower had leaked into the floor. So he had to remove the floor, walls, and ceiling, including to the adjacent rooms to judge the extent of mold growth. So in this case, it went down into the garage. So he had to remediate down there too, the ceiling of the garage. So what you should look for in a mold inspector, ask a lot of questions and make sure he has proper training and experience. A mold inspector might hold certifications in mold inspection or water damage restoration and find out how much experience the inspector has with the exact mold problem you are facing. Like if you have a problem in your basement, you know, see how many, you know, he should be giving you referrals to other people who have had similar problems. Ask questions about the procedure and the testing. A professional mold inspector can walk you through each step of the process relatively easily before any work begins. Now, it also says, do not go to the same person for testing and remediation. That's a conflict of interest because you want the person testing to not have a financial incentive in finding mold. So that should be two different companies. So with the tester, then you see if he has recommendations for mold removal companies, because if he is an established mold inspector and tester, he'll have a professional network with mold removal companies. Review past client reviews. You know, I always go on the internet and find online reviews for everything and everybody I spend money on. You want testimonials and reviews. So before you buy a home, have an ERMI test. That's a test for mold. And this doctor says it should be less than 2.5, which I understand that's really low. But have a mold inspector certify and guarantee his work so that if you have a problem, later you'll have a chance to get your money back, you know, or get money. You'll have like a way to sue. Anyway, if you have water damage, fix and dry it out as quickly as possible. Don't use humidifiers, use dehumidifiers. Right? Remediating a moldy house is very expensive and you have to throw out if it's really contaminated, you have to throw out all the soft furnishings and possessions. It's very sad. Now after remediation, to prevent it from coming back, essential oil diffusions are effective. And you can use clove, frankincense, thieves, or citrus essential oils in the air. And some people have a UVC light put in their air duct, but if it's just in the air duct, it's not going to be effective. It has to be shining on the actual HEPA filter in the air system. So that's pretty much, are there any questions about environmental remediation or testing?
No, I mean, when I was in that apartment and we had the bedroom, master bedroom and bathroom, the mold was in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I tried to keep the door shut between there and the living space. But it did get in there because when they tested, there was some. On the couch that was in there, I sprayed it with vinegar all over. Do you think I still need to get rid of it?
I don't know. Are you sick? You know, the bottom line is, are you sick? Do you have any of these symptoms? Do you have even fatigue? Do you have, you know, anything like that? No. And there are better products that sort of seal and kill mold specifically. It's not like if you just kill it with Clorox, it's going to go all over the place. But if you, there's certain products that will seal and kill it. Yeah.
This product you can use on stuff.
Oh, what is it?
It's called EC3 mold spray. My doctor told me about it.
Oh, okay. Wait a
I'm
minute.
sensitive to it, so if I spray it for about 3 days, it's going to bother me. But if you're not super sensitive like I am. And they make these candles too, which I'm sensitive to because of the candles. But if you're not sensitive to that, you could burn the candles, and that really helps.
So that was out of focus. What's it called again? ECT?
EC3 mold spray.
Yeah, I think I might have that actually.
Microbalance health products.
Yeah. And it's pretty
good. What health products is it?
It's called Microbalance health products. I think I got this on Amazon.
And it's not nothing toxic in it.
No, it's citrus based.
Okay. Yeah, I think I do have that.
It says no odor, non-irritant, non-toxic, safe for services, removes mycotoxins, inhibits mold growth, penetrates porous materials, tile, wood, drywall, grout.
Yeah.
You can apply it to hard or soft surfaces, allow it to dry. So I actually used this on some carpet where I found some mold and it worked.
Okay, that's great.
And I have something to contribute concerning that. There is a product called Huncrobium.
Wait a minute. What is it?
I believe it's spelled C-O-N-C-R-O-B-I-U-M.
You go in and out.
Connie, that was EC3, not ECT.
Okay.
Somebody vacuuming?
I have an air filter on near me. That might be what you're hearing.
Oh, okay.
Is it loud?
Well, no, it just did a little fart.
Oh, no, that wasn't it then.
No, I think it's Steve.
He might be juicing or something. C-R-O. The other R. Take that one out. Back up again. Concro, C-R-O.
Oh, okay.
C-R-O-B-I-U-M.
B-I-U-M.
Sorry, B as in boy. Probium, yeah. That seals the mold. So what I used it for is we have a flat roof in the back. It's almost virtually flat. And it leaked. And we had to rip the walls off and part of the ceiling. And you get a heater. When you have an immediate problem like that, even before insurance can come out, you rip it out yourself if you have to. And you put the heat on in the room or put a heater on to get it as dry as you can. And then after the inspector sees the damage and whatever, but after it's dry, you spray the Concrobium on before the wall is replaced, and those spores will be encapsulated. And you should not have another mold problem because those spores were released.
What is it?
It's a spray.
What's in it, though?
I can see if I can find it in the back, and you guys can carry on, and I'll bring it back.
We can look it up. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would use, have somebody else do it because it is airborne. And, it could be toxic to some people.
So you didn't have mold. This was a preventative for getting mold, you're saying?
We had a roof rip walls and part of the ceiling apart.
Was it wet for a long period of time so that mold would grow?
We had to throw out a lot of sheetrock. Yeah,
it was moldy.
Because it was wet and it had been, I didn't discover the ceiling until it was probably like that for about a week, but my husband saw it and didn't tell me. So he just got a big garbage pail, plastic garbage pail. And I go back there to do laundry. I'm like, what the heck? So I immediately had him remove everything and get it out of the house.
Good.
Opened up the ceiling and saw it was worse. So then we called professionals. I had to make an insurance claim. My insurance was $1,000 deductible, but then the roofer came to fix the roof. And
did you have professional remediators or just the construction guys?
Just the construction guy, but I left it open. because I didn't trust the roof people. The roof people are not good. And I'm stuck with them because I have a lifetime warranty with them. So what happened was, I think it was within 6 months, it leaked again. Mm. So I'm going to pay somebody to fix it. We could have had another insurance claim, but it would have been another $1,000. Mm. So actually, we don't use that bathroom anymore, and we leave it open because I'm afraid it's going to leak and I won't see it. So I have to get a mold specialist in there and check it out. And I'm not satisfied that the roof is finished. So I've got to get other roofing people in here. But I've had other roof people look at it and they don't want to have anything to do with it. Mm. Because of the company with the warranty. So I may have to get a lawyer at this point, but I just left that. We have two other bathrooms. I just left that one where the laundry room is. And mm. I just leave the door closed. I sprayed the concrobium. We dried it out. We did everything. Drying it out, getting it out ASAP, and then I did all the concrobium spray. Hmm. But I would not let the construction person, I got the insurance money, but I'm holding on it for now. I'm not satisfied that the problem is totally resolved.
Okay, well, thanks. That was good. So let's go up to, you know, what you do once, you know, when you're dealing with your body. And these are the different tests for mold in your body. And you may not be positive for all of them, but any of them will be, you know, a red flag that you have to deal with the mold or mycotoxins in your body.
And so, Tommy, do you know who would do these tests? I mean, I'm assuming this is not through your regular...
No, never go regular doctor. So I have a list here of doctors you can look to for advice. But you can test for the mycotoxins, which are the toxins put out by the mold. So might be in the urine. The one study I saw used blood, the mycotoxins in the blood. And this is, if you find mycotoxins, that's definitive for mold exposure. There's no question then. And they said it might be in the moldy home or school office or in foods. Like I know for years they've been warning about the aflatoxins in peanuts, you know, but certain foods are more susceptible to growing mold than others. So the other thing is you can test blood for the antibodies for various molds, and these would be specific molds you'd be testing for. So and these are the different types of antibodies, IgE, A, M, and G. And they all occur at different stages in infection. Then, hi.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if anybody knows. I mean, would most people test positive for some mycotoxin, or is that pretty like if you do test positive for the mycotoxins in the urine,
question, but it leads into this study. Okay, I'm going to jump down to the study.
All right. Okay.
This 2013 study of 112 patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. So they measured the urine for just three mycotoxins, aflatoxins, ochratoxins, macrocyclic trichlorothecines. Anyway, 93% of them were positive for at least one mycotoxin, and 30% were positive for more than one. This is out of just chronic fatigue patients, okay? Now, this was compared to a control group of 55 healthy controls, and they found no presence of mycotoxins in any of the healthy controls.
Okay, that's good.
So that was really interesting.
So if you're healthy, Connie, and you're exposed to mycotoxins, will your body just eliminate it so it will come out negative in the test?
Well, I would assume You know, it's like anything else. If you have a healthy detox system going in your body, you're always taking in toxins, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You will eliminate them if your detoxification system is working. But if you have some kind of error in that system, you can have a buildup, you know, of mycotoxins or any other toxin. You know, it's just like other chemicals. But in this population, the 112 patients with chronic fatigue, common symptoms were fatigue, headache, flu-like symptoms, cognitive complaints, myalgia, arthralgia, you know, pain in the muscles and joints, gastrointestinal problems, and various neurological symptoms. So that might be, you know, similar to some of what you guys are experiencing. And this was 93% positive for mycotoxins. That's pretty impressive.
I have a question on the mold in foods. Would you taste that? Like, I'm very mold sensitive. If I eat a berry that has mold in it or something, I know right away I have to spit it out. But I've never tasted mold on grains.
I don't know if I would be able to taste it or not. And like you say, it depends on your sensitivity.
Yeah.
And it's different for different molds, right? And then how about if the wheat has mold on it, but then it's baked and the mold itself is killed with the heat, but the mycotoxins can still be there, right?
Yeah.
So it's complicated. So anyway, there's those tests, and then yeast overgrowth. You know, there's tests you can do, whether it's fecal tests or they can measure the candida antibodies in the blood and the microbiome analysis. I guess that would be a fecal analysis. Yeast may infect the mouth. That's thrush, right? The GI tract, and this was new for me, inflammation of the esophagus. Like, how many people have acid reflux and esophageal problems? And it could be mold, right? And vaginal infections, we all, well, except for one of us, we know about that. So. And then there's the regular allergy tests with the needles in the arms and the test for mold allergy, which, you don't have to be allergic to be affected by the mold. So for medical treatment, you have to find a doctor who specifically treats mold toxicity. Not that easy to find. So here's a few, and some of them do offer telemedicine. So Dr. Richie Shoemaker, Dr. Klinghart talks about him a lot and his protocol. I think Klinghart has made improvements, so-called improvements to the Shoemaker protocol, but it's very popular. So you can go to this site and see what he does generally. He says, you gotta get out of the contamination first. And then he uses a binder, cholestyramine, which I think that's a prescription drug.
Yeah.
It's
a cholesterol drug.
Right, it's a cholesterol. So, but it's a binder.
I understand that's pretty constipating from what I've heard. It's kind of hard.
Well, with all the binders, you have to take a lot of water because I think they're all constipating. I mean, some of them are clay, so that would be constipating. So you can see his protocols here on his website, and also I found an interview somebody did with him on this YouTube video. And then thanks to Sue for sending me this website, because he mentions, Shoemaker mentions treating for this Marcon's, which is a nasal staph infection. So the yeast makes it possible for the staph to infect, and then they work together and they have a common biofilm and everything. I didn't get through the whole thing, Sue, but this is a good website to start out with if you want to treat the nasal part, the nasal infection part of this, because it might not just be the mold, it might be a combination of that and staph. So that was Retief Shoemaker, and now Dr. Rusko is becoming one of my favorite doctors on YouTube. And so he mostly works with GI issues, but he has also helped people with mold toxicity. And he, or his co-doctors in his practice, help people. And this is one patient's success story. She had been working, trying to detox the mold for a long time. And evidently they added, you know, a protocol to what she was already doing that helped her. And I've been getting a lot of the mold information from Peter Osborne, and he's not an MD. He has some kind of alternative degree, but he has evidently helped a lot of people with mold toxicity. And I thought his videos and his information were really good. Here's one of them. And now Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, he's some of, you know, one of my favorites, and he puts out a weekly, almost weekly, 1 hour talk on Thursdays. But if you miss it, you can't see it anymore. You know, he's been attacked by mainstream medicine, so he sort of goes underground. This is his website. If you want to contact him, he has a clinic in Washington or Oregon, and also in Germany and Switzerland. He's German, but he does all kinds of stuff. That's, I think he's really smart, really good, from, you know, just listening to him. Then this Scott Richman, I just found him, and he specializes in biotoxin illnesses and does telehealth coaching for about $300 for the first 1 hour session. So I don't know anybody who's gone to him, but you can check out his website and see what you think.
I can add something. This woman I met, she's a health coach, functional health coach, and she specializes in allergies and asthma. And I invited her to join us. She was really interested in joining the group. And I was hoping she'd come today so she could talk about it. If she can add something and talk about what she does. I know she only charges, I think it's $97 for a session, but I don't know too much more because I just recently met her. But I'll try and get more information from her. And
does she specialize in mold or?
I do not know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But hopefully she'll come to the next meeting.
Okay.
I think she's been doing it for about 11 years.
But it's general, it's not specific for...
Well, I can't say. I mean, okay. She probably knows something about mold.
Oh, okay.
But I can't say for sure.
Yeah. I think this is something that if you go for coaching, you should go with somebody who specializes in it, I think. I don't know.
So I just noticed the Rife. I know, maybe I was
I'll work my way down.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And this is the study that we went over. And then mold may contaminate these foods. This is what one of the doctors specified is grains, sugar, coffee, which I didn't want to hear that, and peanuts and alcohol, because the alcohol is made from grain. So even though the alcohol would probably kill off the mold if it was there, it would still have the mycotoxins, maybe.
There is one coffee, and I don't know the name of it. I read about it recently. That they said it was certified mold free.
So what? It's mold free?
Certified to be mold free. So they test it. So if you Google it, you can probably find that. I don't drink coffee, so I didn't.
I think one of these doctors actually sells mold free coffee.
Probably. What about chocolate? Is chocolate moldy?
It was not mentioned. So when we get to mold treatments, what they tend to start with is a binder that will go through and bind to the mold in the gut and carry it out. And drink lots of water if you take one of these things. And don't take a binder with your supplements or your drugs, because it'll just carry them out. They won't be absorbed. So, and don't take it every day because, you know, you could get clogged up or you could get nutrient deficient or whatever. So one is bentonite clay, and there's other clays. I've heard of taking green clay or whatever. And activated charcoal is one, and chlorella. To me, the chlorella would be the least constipating, I think. But does anybody have any experience with any of these?
As I have mentioned in the past, I take chlorella every morning. So mm-hmm. that's something you can take every day. And I think it's just a good maintenance, a daily maintenance to pull out toxins in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been taking Dr. Klinghart's chlorella from England, and I really like it, actually. I chew on it.
Do you take it every day?
Not every day, no. But you remember the book I told you about with Nathan Neal, whatever his name was, Toxic? He has a chapter on mold where he matches the binder to the mold. Like he says, if you have this mycotoxin, you should take this binder. It works best.
Okay. I'll go down. Okay.
Bonnie, I was just going to mention that I take the charcoal, the activated charcoal.
Oh, okay.
I take it just twice a week.
Okay.
Where is this? How much do you take and how do you take it?
I've had a bad experience with activated charcoal, very bad experience.
So I take 6 capsules twice a week.
Oh my.
And I don't know if it varies from brand to brand. This was recommended by a naturopath who we were working with. So I'll be right back.
The chlorella that I take, Connie, is by iHerbs. iHerbs, etc. And it's okay. Oxygenated chlorella. So it also oxygenates your blood.
Oh, it's iHerbs, etc., right?
Yeah.
And the one I take is Key Science.
Okay, that's Dr. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And how often do you take that?
I'm experimenting with it, so I don't really have a set schedule yet. I'm trying to build up on it. And I also started on those cell core supplements that Dr. Sika gave me.
And that's for mold?
One is Tutka, which is for liver support. And then they have cell core makes a mycotoxin binder. They're expensive too.
Tutka and a mycotoxin binder?
Yeah, from cell core. You have to go through a doctor to get those.
Okay.
Can you get those from a naturopathic doctor, do you know, or you'd have to check with
them? I think so. I don't know, though.
You know, Steve in Connecticut, I've been telling people about him in our last session, mm-hmm. and he will order things for people because he's a pharmacologist. You don't have to go to a doctor, mm-hmm. and he will mail things to your residents.
Mm. Oh, good.
That's what I would do. And the other stuff you can get on Amazon, or do you have to go on the website, Dr. Klinghart's website?
No, you have to go
Key
on
Science.
Key Science website. It's in the UK. So you have to pay shipping and all that. It's not cheap.
Steve, hi, Kota. Yeah. If you need that number again, I can look it up for you right now for Steve.
Okay.
People don't have the other notes. And Steve's number is 203-755-1105.
1105, okay. Thanks, Nancy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday? He's not there all the time. Monday, Tuesday, Friday. Yeah, okay. He's up there in age.
Now, is he able to also tell somebody if a supplement will interact with any drug or medical condition?
Yes, he has training in regular pharmacology, but he got out of the profession many years ago because he saw what Big Pharma was doing to people with the drug interactions and the side effects, and just morally he couldn't do that. So he's on his own now and has very high quality supplements and things like this, orders things that you can't get without going to a doctor. And most doctors don't have natural healing. They don't know anything about natural supplements. So you go round and round, you know, trying to find somebody who can help you. Naturopathic doctor probably could, but naturopathic doctors are limited in different states as well as to what they can order.
I went to a naturopathic doctor in Connecticut, and I didn't think he was very good either. There, you know, there's all kinds of qualities depending, you know, in every profession. But it's interesting, you know, I'm a pharmacologist too, and I never thought that I could get, you know, anything like that. But I left the research for the same reasons. A lot of people left pharmaceutical research for the same reasons. It's not ethical.
Right. Connie, I wonder, you might be able to apply to your state for a license number, and then you can order anything like that.
Huh.
You already have a.
Yeah, that's okay. I've got enough to do.
That badly.
But thanks. So anyway, the first step they do is,
Connie,
they bind. What?
I just wanted to add for the activated charcoal.
Uh-huh.
So it's Swanson. It's activated charcoal from Swanson.
I have that.
And two capsules are 520 milligrams. So six capsules would be three times that amount is what I use.
Okay, so that's good. So anyway, that's the binders. And of course, this shoemaker, he uses this cholestyramine. So maybe I should add that to the, but this is actually a drug.
Yeah, I have the ingredients in the CellCore product if you're interested.
Wait a minute.
The binder.
I know, I'm just trying to, okay. Okay, so
it says humic shale containing humic and fulvic acid, citric acid, broccoli sprouts, and yucca root.
You know what? It's going to be easier for me to look up it. What's the name of CellCore?
Mycotoxin binder.
Okay, mycotoxin binder. Okay.
Bio is biotoxin.
A different supplement, or is it?
It's a different supplement, yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to copy and paste.
Okay, it's biotoxin, not mycotoxin binder.
What is it? Biotoxin?
Biotoxin binder by CellCore.
Okay.
And I tolerated it fine. I was surprised.
Okay, I'll look up the ingredients and just cut and paste. So after we bind it, we have to kill it. And so what they use is garlic or allicin capsules, is evidently effective. Pau d'Arco tea, I know, is specifically good for, well, it's good for yeast or anything else. I've used it for all sorts of viruses, bacteria, and even cancer in my dog.
Connie, can you use the Pau d'Arco tea every day? Or is that, you know, a lot of herbs, they'll say you shouldn't use it continuously.
I know. I think I've read that you can. I actually think that I've used it here just as an antibiotic, only when we're sick, you know, but I just read that it's good for weight loss. So I might try, you know, every day. So
you're not aware that there's any issues with using it daily?
No, but you know, it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. And one time I got a rash from it. But then I never got a rash again. And I just read where that is the sign that you're taking too much, is mm-hmm. a skin rash, and just back off. And I haven't come across any other side effects of it. So
I just pulled mine up and the directions say, it's this one. If you desire a medicinal tea, be sure to use one tea bag per cup of boiling water. Cover and steep for 7 to 12 minutes. This is known.
What's this for?
Pau de Arco. Sorry.
Oh, no. Pau de Arco, you have to boil it and let it steep at least 20 minutes because it's the inner bark and it takes a long time. So what I usually do if Jim's sick, I will put on a pot of water and bring it to a boil and put 3 tea bags in it. And then I will give it to him throughout the day. And then usually by the end of the day, he's fine.
Okay. Yeah. This says 7 to 12 minutes. So 20 sounds, you know, you're really going to be getting.
Well, yeah, I use traditional medicinals brand too. So I don't know if that makes a difference, but I bought 2 books on Pau de Arco because I'm just so impressed with the thing. To me, you know, whenever we traveled, we would throw Pau de Arco tea bags, like individually wrapped, just in the luggage. You just throw a bunch of tea bags in there because it's so easy to take it anywhere. And then Jim got sick, you know, on our last trip, and I had, you know, everything I needed right there.
Well, I just put myself on it, and I have before, but I haven't gotten to brewing it, but I test on it right now. So I don't know what way I test on it, but
yeah. I don't know. Well, we'll see if it makes me lose weight.
Is it caffeine-free, are they, Connie?
What?
Are they all caffeine-free?
Oh, yeah. Most herbals are caffeine-free. So then the other thing, and I actually have one of many studies on the oil of oregano and candida, and also staph. So this study here, the antifungal activities of some essential oils were investigated against candida, and among them, oregano oil was found to be the most effective oil, and further biofilm studies were conducted with it. So it also inhibited biofilm adhesion and formation of the candida and mature biofilms, and displayed the ability to reduce biofilm formation when they were allowed to form on surfaces previously coated with oil. In addition, oregano oil was found to be effective against the dual biofilms of candida and staph at different concentrations. And then there was another study that showed the effectiveness of emulsions of Mexican oregano oil against candida. But when I put, you know, I use Google Scholar to look up the scientific studies. And when I put in oregano oil and candida, several, you know, I didn't even scroll down far enough to see the end of the list. And so if you want to kill mold and yeast externally, you can use tea tree oil and vinegar. And actually, my neighbor had fungus feet, and he soaked in borax water. So borax would kill mold too.
When you're talking about oregano oil, are you saying in capsule form?
Or, yeah. Either way, like this one study, I believe this was in capsules, but this one down here was an emulsion in another oil. Okay. They combined it.
Yeah, because I know it's so strong, I'd be afraid to take it by itself. I'm wondering what they did with the study.
Oregano oil?
What?
You're talking about the strength of the oregano oil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just bought some from Steve. It's unopened. I'll take a look at it.
Is it capsules or not? I know that I have capsules of oregano oil, and they are diluted in another oil. Oregano oil is really powerful. I've used it for mouth infections, and it got, you know, Jim was told he had to have a root canal, and I just told him to put oregano oil on it and then just chew on oregano, and it went away.
But the oregano oil he put on it was diluted?
That was neat. No, I just had him. He put a drop on his finger and rubbed it in.
That's all. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
For a tooth infection, you can put it on a Q-tip and put it right on your tooth. I did that for a couple of years when I didn't have a dentist.
And good idea. Yeah. That's pretty much what Jim did.
Because it'll burn if you get it on your skin. At least the one I had was really strong.
Yeah, it's strong.
Yeah, I just looked for it. I must have put it away because I didn't need it right now. But it's in a little tiny bottle, maybe a 2 ounce or maybe 1 ounce.
That's what my I have the capsules and I have that straight oil. Yes. So then after you kill, you want to kill it. And by the way, the commercial antifungal drugs that they're giving, nystatin and all that, the molds and yeasts are becoming resistant to that. And because when they make a commercial antibiotic or something antifungal, they just have one chemical with one mechanism of action in it. Whereas God was smarter and he put several compounds into one plant. And that's why Palo Arco is more effective than the extracts, because there's no way for them to extract all of the effective chemicals in Palo Arco. And when you go about killing something from different directions like that, you won't get that resistance to it. Like you won't get resistance to Palo Arco like you would for an antibiotic, in other words.
Yeah.
So then we cleanse our system, and they use green juice. And we talked about green juice before. Wheatgrass seems to be a really good one, and barley green juiced is really good. Cinnamon is very effective. There were studies too on cinnamon oil and candida, grapefruit seed oil. This doctor suggested drinking bone broth and herbal tea all day as a cleanser, and then just eat meat and veggies for dinner, and do that for several days to clean yourself out. This doctor suggested if you have mold or yeast infection in the sinuses, using a neti pot, just distilled water and salt, just as a temporary fix, just for some relief. You obviously need to attack the infection. And detoxing for mold after remediation or removal, you really should get an experienced professional who successfully treated mold toxicity. And this one doctor says sweating, we know for detox, is an important part of detoxing for mold. Now, I don't know how they feel about, you know, I always say the exit strategy is through the skin, but sweating, and if you can't sweat, foot bath or Epsom salt baths. And I mean an electronic foot bath, not, yeah. But I guess actually, if you take a warm bath and you put Epsom salts in it, stick your feet in it, if you can't use the whole bathtub, that would help. Now, I have a Rife machine. I've used the mold channel on people that had a mold problem. And it was a complicated person, you know, with all these 15 different co-infections, but ultimately the Rife machine worked on her. But not everybody can have a Rife machine, but there are frequencies, Rife frequencies you can play on YouTube. And here's a couple of YouTube channels that have specific Rife frequencies for mold. You can just play them while you're resting or whatever. And here's the link to that small HEPA filter with the UVC light that I used and my daughter used successfully. And again, that's a temporary fix.
Honey, what does HEPA filter look like? How big is it? And is it like a machine?
Wait a minute, I'm going to open the link. And
oh, fancy.
So I'm going to share this. So you can, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I sort of imagined it to look like.
And it's not very big, and it's just for one room. And it's zero ozone verified, so it doesn't put out ozone. The light is contained inside, and so it's just focusing on the filter and killing the mold on the filter. Okay, so any more comments, questions?
Well, going back to the oregano oil, I was remembering what Dr. Riley said about, and I hadn't been doing it, but she said, you know, you can do a pull. And I forget what she said, to put in my mouth and spit it out. And that cleanses, I'm thinking, for yeast and candida, even if you don't have symptoms, but you could have like a white tongue. Do you know anything about that, Connie, or anybody else?
Well, you know,
coconut.
My friend that was in the hospital with cancer, the chemo caused thrush in her mouth. And so I just told her to rinse her mouth with vinegar water. The drug they were using for the fungus in her mouth didn't work. But within 12 hours of rinsing her mouth several times with vinegar water, it went away.